Hey guys, welcome back to Even More News. My name's Katie Stoll.
Wowee. Holy cowee.
Who are you again?
I'm Cody Johnston.
Cody Johnston, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm familiar.
Well, I was familiar with your name, and your voice, but now I get to see you.
Don't play this game. We've met before.
Have we?
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. That's what today is, the day that you're listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that Valentine's Day is my least favorite holiday.
Least favorite
of all
holiday.
The holidays? Yeah, absolutely.
You've been pretty on board with every single holiday you've mentioned this entire run.
I know. Well, every other holiday has been better than Valentine's Day. And that's not just because I'm single.
Okay.
Because there's also Galentine's Day. It's just, of all the holidays, it's the one that's always like shaming you into buying things. And every day should be the day that you celebrate someone that you love. Right?
Well, that's true. That's true. You shouldn't need a day.
Makes people feel bad about themselves.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And it's a terrible night to go out to eat.
Oh, sure.
Just the worst.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
you don't have those long lines out the door at the waffle on paper cut day.
No.
So,
you know,
puts that into perspective.
I mean, everyone's probably home nursing their paper cuts, right?
Well, if they're wimps.
I mean, I guess.
Get out and live a little. It's paper cut day.
Yeah, they did. They went out. They lived a little. They got some paper cuts. Now they're
very little. They lived the bare minimum and then
they
threw in the towel.
Yeah, they did some paperwork and they got some paper cuts and now they're taking care of them. They're not going to go out to dinner that night.
Okay, well, I get that, but that makes it a superior holiday to Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Anyway, we're going to talk about the news because Valentine's Day is old news.
It is old news in the future.
Let's talk about Ilhan Omar.
Okay.
Because this story really upsets me.
Representative, House of Representatives.
Yes.
Ilhan Omar.
Yes, the recently elected one of this new wave of freshman Congress people.
Yeah.
And literally nobody's saying the things that I feel, at least, you know, in writing. There's no articles being written from my perspective. And I've been very disappointed with our party's leadership in response to this story.
Yeah, there's not a lot of, like, media or political leadership figures who are
saying the right things.
Portraying this thing accurately or being, yeah.
So fair. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Ilhan made waves earlier this week for criticizing AIPAC. That's the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, and it's a lobbying group that advocates for pro-Israel policies here in America. And, you know, she's criticized them a lot in the past, but she isn't the first person to criticize them. Bernie Sanders, who is Jewish, has been saying these same things for years.
Bernard Sanders criticized a lobbying group?
Yes, that's right. He did. A Jewish man did this, too.
Sounds anti-Semitic to me.
Sounds anti-Semitic to me. But he even skipped the AIPAC conference the year that he ran for president the last time.
Mm-hmm.
The last time he ran for president.
Yeah.
Maybe he skipped it other times too, but he definitely did that year, which is a statement. But there's just, I don't know, there's something about her, a Muslim woman, saying it that, you know, just really, really got everybody's attention.
What is it about her, do you think?
It's that, the Muslim part,
I
think. They've been building this narrative about her for a while. So this isn't the first time. Kevin McCarthy.
He's the House Minority Leader in the House of Representatives, Republican Minority Leader.
Yes, that's
Kevin McCarthy.
Most likely true.
Previously having tweeted about George Soros funding caravans and politicians right before the midterm elections.
That very same man.
I wonder if that's related to
this anti-Semitism.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe dig. Not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Okay.
That happened in the past, though, so we don't have to care about it, right?
Fair.
He's grown since then.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what set off this backlash, he had been talking about, you know, punishing her, condemning some more sort of thing.
Censuring or whatever
censuring,
it is, I don't know.
In response to his perceived, her perceived anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
And she responded on Twitter to a thing saying it's all about the Benjamins baby with a little music note next to it. And everybody, on account of the song by Sean Puff.
Mm-hmm.
P. Diddy Daddy Holmes.
As we all call him,
that's
as he prefers to be called. Yeah,
full name at this point, officially, legally. Mm-hmm.
So probably a pun about money, but also about Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah, so it's probably both of those things. And everybody freaked out and said that this was an anti-Semitic trope. And I understand where they're making a connection, that the idea of money and Jewish people. But I absolutely do not understand taking that from that tweet. I understand theory what they're saying, but to me, nothing about that. She was calling out money and politics. She was saying a very true thing. And obviously the song lyric was referencing the money. And yeah, as you said, Netanyahu.
Well, yeah, Netanyahu. But also, I mean, it's just nuts. Because, I mean, there's like footage of AIPAC reps bragging about how they spend money to influence
yeah,
politics.
This is a thing
they're lobbying for.
Exactly.
Like, not...
This isn't a secret. The truth is that that money is in our politics, in both sides. You know, Democrats and Republicans take money from them.
Yeah, we have money in our politics.
We have money in our politics. And, you know, last week that clip floats around about AOC talking about money in politics.
Right.
And this is, I mean, honestly, of the same ilk. And
yeah.
And I'm not trying to offend people. I know that some of you listening to this have taken a different perspective from this than us. But, and again, I understand the connection that you're making and that, you know, people have replied to me on Twitter. It's not about what she was saying about AIPAC. It's a tweet. And I would say that I think it was flippant and that social media is a real awesome tool mm-hmm. for our representatives, but it's really dangerous and you have to think twice about it. But that's the extent of it. The fact that even our party's leadership condemned this statement really, really, really disappointed me.
Yeah. And it's still going on.
So
like J.K. Rowling, multi-billionaire, is very against the Labour Party in the UK. There, you know, there's all this stuff about the anti-Semitism in the Corbyn wing of the party or whatever, which I'm not that familiar with. But I do know that at one point he mentioned, he said something about bankers. Having like influence, and he said bankers, the words are bankers, and she sort of flipped out and was talking about like the anti-Semitic nature of the comment and like he's an anti-Semite and all this stuff, and it's interesting because he said bankers and she heard Jews,
right?
And like there's,
it says more about her connections that she made.
Yeah, there's a thing we're seeing a lot of now, I think, with like people who like say these things and then the response is like, oh, this is this, but it's like, well, your brain made that connection. He yeah. said bankers and you're making this about this other thing, and like maybe JK it has something to do with the fact that in your fantasy books,
well, she made the goblins,
you made an entire race of goblins be the banker race in your books.
Was it goblins or trolls?
JK. It was goblins or trolls. I don't know if it matters. It was an entire race of like.
Well, I was the one that said goblins. So I wanted to be correct.
I do not care if we're correct on whether or not it was goblins or trolls in
Harry
Potter.
I even looked to my notes to be like, did I write this down? No, of course I didn't write down.
No. But like it's stuff like that, and like this, like criticizing Israel isn't.
That's the thing that's really hard to talk about. We've
like
talked about
it. Actions of a nation, seems
you know.
Like.
Well, it's difficult to say we're criticizing Israel and we're towing a line of trying not to be anti-Semitic. None of us are. We're not anti-Semitic.
It's a very specific country.
It's just
specific history, so it's hard to
divorce
that.
Like these two ideas from each other. We care about what the country's doing, how they're behaving, how they're treating Palestine. Anyway, it's all crazy. But yeah, nobody seems to mind, you know, the George Soros conspiracies or the fact that they've all ignored Steve King, a racist, for years and years and didn't care about it.
Yeah, I mentioned this on the Twitter.com today of that sort of like, I keep seeing interviews with like Mike Pence and all these people, and they talk about like anti-Semitism has no place, et cetera, and so forth. And Omar, you know, like calls for her to resign, calls for her to be kicked off these
right.
committees.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I mentioned, like, you know, in the context of that, if you're interviewing somebody like that and you don't bring up Steve King or the president, then you're kind of like useless and failing us all. There was someone responded like, oh yeah, we should engage in whataboutism. It's not whataboutism to point out hypocrisy. It's like this specific kind of hypocrisy. That's not whataboutism.
Yeah, there's no what about. He did it. Because
also there's explaining what she said and what she meant and how like it's a lobbying firm.
Yeah.
But then continuing that to be like, so Mike Pence, like, why are you sort of misrepresenting what she said? And then also ignoring these other things that your boss said or that Steve King has said that sort right. of has slipped under the rug for, I don't know, like 13, 14 years, something like that.
And it's a real big shame. Everybody's paying attention to this moment and not focusing on the important thing, which is the money in politics, which is the thing that we actually desperately need to fix if our country is going to become a just, fair place in general, just across the board.
Right. Lobbying is a real problem.
Yeah.
Maybe it was actually exacerbated by Paul Manafort and Roger Stone decades ago.
You should check out Behind the Bastards.
You should check out an episode of Behind the Bastards about that exact
Cody
thing.
Cody and I were on with our friend Robert.
Sort of about the history of lobbying in the country and how it sort of expanded from like not that really a problem to like a real bad problem.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
Speaking of lobbying, Ryan Zink just joined Corey Lewandowski's lobbying firm.
Oh, cool.
Which is cool of him. But this sort of ties in, I think, with what sort of the reaction to Ilhan Omar being on these committees and these calls for her to resign, which is bonkers. Like the president himself
said it. Well, I can't believe that. Yeah. He took a break from tweeting about Elizabeth Warren and the Trail of Tears to call for her to resign.
Yeah. He's a,
you resign.
He's a ridiculous monster that, people should, like watching that clip of him saying that.
Yeah.
And like Kellyanne Conway's in the background.
Yeah,
you can see her and she's like
with her arms crossed. Like,
having a good time or whatever. But just like you just somebody in the room just say, hey, what? Like
they're never
stop,
gonna do
just
that.
Stop him. Stop him once. You'll never talk to him again. It's fine.
They've handpicked the people that are just gonna keep their mouths shut.
It's so frustrating to watch him specifically talk about this kind of thing. But they really want her to be off these committees. And I think there's probably a reason for that because she challenges power, she challenges money, she brings up injustices
and, so
and
you
remembers history.
Shared this with me earlier. I think you're pulling it up. This is from Abrams.
Yeah, this is from earlier today. So
Elliot Abrams
has been indicated to be the special envoy for Venezuela.
Yes.
That situation where maybe we could call it a coup, maybe we couldn't call it a coup. The U.S. is getting more and more involved in Venezuela. And Elliot Abrams was involved with the Iran-Contra affair many years ago with the Reagan administration.
And he was found to have
He was found to have lied. Basically lied. So, I mean, you know, long story short, they sold weapons to Iran to be able to pay the Contras in Nicaragua. But he lied to Congress. He withheld information to Congress. He pled guilty. He pleaded guilty
then
to this. He was pardoned.
George H.W. pardoned him.
Yeah. So he was pardoned, but he did admit, he pleaded guilty to withholding information from Congress.
Right.
So today, Omar was questioning him about it. And she sort of pointed out some acts of genocide that the U.S. committed there and brought up, like, why should we, you know, sort of take you seriously? Why should we listen to anything you have to say? He got very, very mad. And she didn't ask a question. He tried to answer. And she's like, well, I didn't ask a question. That wasn't a question. I'm going to take my time. She stood her ground. It was very, very cool. But having her be there, if she wasn't there, no one probably would have brought that up.
Right. You guys should all go look up the clip.
Yeah, it's like a 3-minute clip or something like that. It's from today the day before Valentine's Day.
It's pretty
Day.
Impressive, actually. Also because he's so disrespectful to her and won't respond and keeps appealing to the leader of the committee to do something, and it's everything about his body language.
Yeah, it's something else. It's one of those things where you're like, oh, finally someone is questioning these people and bringing up things that we are all aware of and should be mentioned more. And so she did this, and it's the kind of thing where like maybe that's why they're so upset with her and people like her, aside from the Muslim thing, like, which is definitely a part of
that. That's part
of
it. Also, there are very few issues that the GOP can try to claim moral superiority on. And they lost a lot of headway. And from what I've been reading, it's kind of – that's the wedge that they're hoping to get. So they're fabricating.
Yeah, absolutely, they are.
100%. And it's not just her. It's also Rashida Tlaib.
Yeah, it's just very obvious that this is like – they talked about this before, I think, where – so Republicans in general, conservatives in general, they own Donald Trump, and they have for, I would say, many, many, many months at this point. And they own him. He's theirs. And he's the worst of them all. He represents everything bad about them. And they're stuck with him. And he's theirs. And they're so desperate to find anything to point their finger at on the left so they can ignore the fact that they own him and he is the leader of their party. And he, all of his bad ideas, all of his racism, everything about him that they don't like is in them.
Yeah.
Like, it's there. And so they have to, you know, point to like, oh, AOC said this number and it was like 100 off or something like that. Or like any of these things where they can gin up anger about it or sort of create these wedge issues where you can maybe poke and prod support, but really it's just a distraction from the guy 100%.
And again, that's like how I said earlier, they have very little places where they can grab onto moral superiority or any sort of superiority.
It's wild that they've chosen this specifically too, knowing that Donald Trump has said comments like this all the time been in a room full of like a Jewish coalition and like joked about like how they like he doesn't want their money so they can't influence, you know, like
and
doing a lot of like very explicitly anti-Semitic sort of tropes and also, you know, forgiving the people that marched next to the neo-Nazis saying Jews will not replace us, the fine people of both sides thing, like all this sort of stuff. They know that it's there, and they know that he said it, and they know why, and they know why it's sort of like swept under the rug, and so they're pointing to this, and it's so weird.
Yeah,
like there's this Michael Knowles is a Daily Wire contributor, and he's a joy, but he's very reasonable. He's full of logic and facts and reason.
I believe none of that.
Well, no, he's full of logic and facts and reason.
Enjoy.
And he like everyone at the Daily Wire hates identity politics. They hate.
Yeah, they're not
plays identity.
They are
politics.
Not about it.
I just so not about it. Well, here's a fun little tweet from that person I just mentioned.
Cool.
One wonders why Ilhan Omar seems to harbor such particular contempt for Elliot Abrams. Elliot, from the Hebrew Elijah, meaning my God is Yahweh. Abrams, the father of the Jewish people. Maybe, I bet that the congresswoman who was asking the man with the history of lying in regards to U.S. intervention in Central and South American countries and mentioning how he pleaded guilty to withholding information from Congress, a body on which she sits and is representing during this interaction, I bet it's because he's Jewish.
Yeah, not because of all those other things.
I bet it's because of his Jewish identity.
Speaking of the Daily Wire and Ben Shapiro's and all of that, they have been, you know, doing their duty as journalists and shining light on this whole situation.
I bet.
But they have been pretty quiet about Candace Owens, who just, you know, earlier this week, last week, who knows what time
it
is.
9 years ago.
This is, I have no idea. It was definitely since the last time we sat here talking about the news. But she was speaking in Germany, and she said that Hitler was okay until he decided to go global. She also
in Germany?
What? Yeah, I believe that's true. I was, from what I read.
Oh, I didn't know.
Unless
Germany.
The thing that I read was wrong, but
Candace.
She also said.
Oh no.
That he was a national socialist. That nationalism isn't bad. He was just a national socialist. You know, that he was mostly focused on improving the country, and like.
I don't
No, I get it. I've been through all those emotions that you've had when I was preparing. Like, we know Hitler wasn't a real socialist. I had thought that there were some like socialist program-esque programs, work programs or something that he instituted. But, you know, as we've discussed, he was a socialist in name-ish, just to capitalize on.
Had some popularity and he capitalized it on it.
But even if he were, let's say he were a socialist.
He murdered all the socialists.
But even if he were in what she's saying, when she's saying like nationalism gets a bad rep, what you should know is that he was a national socialist and he was focused on improving the country. That's the socialist part. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, she's getting her facts wrong.
But right. The thing she's misrepresenting, if she were correct,
right,
it's like, well, what argument are you making, Candace?
Yes. Anyway.
I mean, the Weimar Republic started out with a welfare state. Like, it was a very liberal sort of democracy that crumbled under the weight of, et cetera and so forth. then they rolled it back and they made it specific for specific people. You know, like, there were unions. There weren't independent unions. Like,
right.
All the things that, like, socialists support or propose, they, like, gnarled it and mangled it into something entirely different. And, like, the idea that the bad part of National Socialism isn't the nationalism part is wild.
Right. And anyway, so that was a thing that happened that nobody on the right paid attention to, and really nobody on the left.
I believe, Katie, they did pay attention to it. They just ignored it, / swept it under the rug, / dismissed it as, like, oh, well. Like I saw some people who were like, oh, well, this is what she meant. Or like, oh, well, she didn't, you know, she's not really saying this. And it's like, well, A, you're in Germany, apparently. I didn't know she's in Germany. That's so good. That's so delicious, Katie. She's
yum,
in
yum.
Germany. Yum, 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 yum.
I sure hope I'm right and didn't attribute that wrong. I'm right.
I hope you're right, too. Because, that is so good. But, like, A, don't bring up... Like, if you're going to make a point... Because her point wasn't, like, that the Holocaust was good. What she was trying to get at was that patriotism is good.
Right.
And, like, I wouldn't necessarily agree on her opinion of patriotism and, like, why, like, the benefits of nationalism and so on and so forth. But, like, if you're going to make that argument, if you're going to talk about, like, oh, no, it's just patriotism and, like, making your country good, don't use Hitler. Don't use Hitler as the example.
It's terrible.
And
especially not in Germany.
And, like, everyone I've seen talk about this, like, on the right, like the Lawrence Southerns of the world, who obviously, like, don't take them seriously, but, like... Even her argument was like, well, like, okay, Candace wasn't literally saying that, like, the Holocaust was good until they turned to globalism, which, again, like, first of all, globalism isn't, like, taking over the fucking world.
Globalism is that's not what was happening,
like,
there.
Like, even what Candace was describing isn't globalism.
No.
She's so
dumb.
Dumb.
I'm sorry,
or
I don't want to say people are dumb.
I mean, it's kind of both.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you're fine with it. But
she blocked me too, so we've got beef.
Yeah, yeah. She's got a lot of beef. A lot of folks, I'm sure. I'm sure it's very helpful for her and her career. But if you're going to bring this up, and you're going to misrepresent all this stuff, like, it's not just that she's saying, like, yeah, she's not saying that, okay, the Holocaust was good until globalism. But what she is saying is she doesn't understand that the Holocaust wasn't the only bad part about Nazi Germany. Like, she's sort of presenting Nazism as, like, oh, and then suddenly they did the Holocaust.
Right.
Like, there's a lot going on there that was bad. Obviously that was the worst thing they did. But it's just another example of
the reality of what even leading up to that was like.
Like,
the oppressiveness, the clamping down on the press.
Right, creating the others and, like, you know, like,
yeah, having political
in groups
enemies
and out groups and, like, sort of like all the xenophobic anti, like, it's not just specifically the Holocaust, Candace.
Yeah.
And, like, how do you think you get to that point? Globalism, I bet. God, she's so... I'm so glad. I'm so happy that she said that in Germany. That's wild.
Anyway, that happened, and so the other thing. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back for even more news.
Today's episode of Even More News is brought to you by our beautiful cutie patrons who support us on patreon.com/somemorenews, and you are able to do that too if you'd like, and if not, that's okay too. We love you anyway, and we can't thank our supporters enough for helping us do this and the show that can be found on youtube.com. Mm-hmm. And that's the ad.
That was really good.
Thank you.
He just improvised that.
Yeah. And I just want to say, you know, it's the season of love is upon us. And this Valentine's Day, surprise her with ghosts suddenly.
That's one of my favorite classic Jody jokes.
Classic Jody jokes.
Cody jokes. Jody Cokes.
Cody's, the ad is over.
Welcome back for Even More News. Look, guys, I don't want to jinx anything, you know?
Okay.
But it looks like Dum Dum in charge of everything. All the Dum Dums in charge of
Barack
everything.
Barack Obama.
Yeah, Barack Obama.
Barack has Insane reached, yep, Obama.
That's the one person I'm talking about. Okay. Has reached a shitty deal on border security, so our government's not going to shut down on Friday.
That's cool, I guess.
Because that was the deadline.
Yeah, congratulations on not wanting to do the thing you keep saying you want to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Way to go.
I mean, it's, I guess, we'll get into it. The deal, it's whatever. It gives the president $1.375 billion. Specifically allocated for 55 miles of fencing along the Mexico border, which is obviously far short of the $5.7 billion that had been sought for steel walls. But it is still some money that we weren't going to give.
It's still some money for fencing that you know that the president will refer to a wall.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, well, he will count this as a win and portray it as a win to his base.
Well,
who actually his base, some of his aides are recommending that he veto it for his base, mm-hmm, specifically because they're going to be pretty upset. You know, the Tommy Lorenz and the Ann Coulters are pretty mad about this.
I'm sure they are. But they've also, you know, Republicans have said that Trump can also just reprogram money, unspent money from anti-drug programs and drag it to the wall. So that's another thing that they can latch on to. He's already, I mean, this whole time he's been lying. We already have a wall. We've already been building. It's already under construction. Mm. We're going to get the rest of this money now. This is, you know, like spinning it.
Yeah, he's going to spin it no matter what.
But so that happened.
Yeah, there's also the stuff in the deal about, it's actually sort of an undetermined amount of money for judges. But there's sort of the number of beds and amount of
people
able to be detained.
Yeah, the Democrats were using these negotiations to try to cap the number of people that could be detained. But the Republicans were looking for money for more beds.
Sure, you want
so
more beds.
So they were at like a big standoff over that issue. Also, currently there
lie
are
down off because they're beds.
49,000 people being detained at the moment.
Right.
So at the end of this, nothing changed. Neither side got what they wanted. But again, they're saying that they can just reprogram money from anti-drug programs,
right,
which is real quick. Use that money. It seems like you're not using
it. Oh, use it for the anti-drug programs. Interesting.
Drugs are a problem, right? Mm. Why don't we use that money? That's actually a more actionable use of preventing
drug treatment or like building communities.
You know, any kind of thing.
That's how you get people
to
stop.
There's plenty of ways
drugs
to spend that money, not on a wall. But anyway, continue.
It's hard to be like, oh, the Dems aren't doing this right, but then they are kind of because they have this sort of deal that will avert another government shutdown, which we don't want.
Right.
And like the sort of bed cap, it's interesting because it's going to be lower than what the numbers currently were for the number of people detained by ICE.
Oh, it is?
It's going to be slightly lower, but it's still higher than the previous year because ICE has been like filling them up. So like the numbers expanded so much.
I got you.
That even though the number is lower, it's actually higher than the previous year. So it's like,
so that's cool.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to sort of navigate it all.
I mean, I guess this is as good of a deal as could be
right
achieved at this particular moment, but it is obviously disappointing.
And he'll, you know, he'll spin it. And like, even, I mean, I keep hearing, you know, Democrats keep bringing up like, we don't want a medieval wall, we want a smart wall. And like, that seems really dangerous.
That's the wrong thing to be taken away from this.
It's like this weird like tech bro response. And like, we know that whatever the United States uses against people outside of us, whether it's on the border or in other countries, whatever that technology is, it's going to be used on us eventually. Like, that's how it works.
That is literally how
it works. That's just how it works. And so, like, you build, like, yeah, we'll build a smart wall. Well, that's going to be what they do for us. Like, the idea of, like, drones and sensors and all this stuff, it's the kind of liberal mentality of, like, not necessarily understanding what the apparatus is and what it's used for and, like, what it builds towards.
I mean, I haven't really seen people talking about that, but I
about the smart wall or
yeah,
about
the smart wall.
I keep seeing it brought up by representatives and, like,
well, it's
you know, because they hammered home the medieval line. And I think a lot of them took it to heart, meaning technologically medieval as opposed to, like,
that's not the conceptually.
Yeah, like the idea of it is actually the medieval part. So they've taken it and been like, oh, let's take this medieval idea, but like
update it.
Make it with like robots and stuff.
But it's going to have green technology on it.
Yeah, exactly. And like it just seems really short-sighted.
Yeah.
Or long-sighted. Like, you know, a lot of them probably are aware of that, but that's just what they believe in.
One fun thing to mention, earlier this week there were competing border rallies. One was a march in El Paso, and Beto O'Rourke was there. He was like the key speaker, and they were protesting the border wall, and more specifically Trump's claims in the State of the Union that El Paso was dangerous, and then the wall went up and now it's safe. El Paso hasn't had a problem in a very, very long time with crime. They're a notoriously safe city. So this was rally was about
sounds
that.
Like, we need some walls.
And Trump went out of his way to hold a rally less than a half a mile away, like across the street him.
That's my boy. And, oh, that's my big boy.
And
my
he
big
tweeted or he talked about, maybe he said at the rally that his rally had tens of thousands of people there and Beto's only had 200. And he thanked the firemen for breaking the law. He literally did this. He thanked them for breaking the law and letting them go over capacity, which the fire enforcement immediately denied. They did not go over capacity. But the reality of it is that it wasn't even Beto's rally. It was a rally, but he was there. His had anywhere from 7,000 to 15,000 people. And the building where Trump had his rally, which definitely was not over capacity, only holds 6,500. I just thought it was a funny story.
Yeah. That's another one of those like sort of unimportant, like here's a lie. Here's
another thing. But it does.
It does. But also, I feel like I'm going insane.
That's why it matters.
But no, that lie, that happened like 2 years ago.
He does it all the time.
About the fire department and about the capacity and the size, and then the fire department saying, no, that's not true. This is the, like, that, everything you just told me is in my memory from like 2 years ago.
I mean,
and I feel like I'm going insane.
I always come back to, is he actually insane? There's also that story. This has nothing to do with the border wall, but what was it? He said something to the effect of, we should have a parade and like fireworks or something.
Yeah, it's
a
military parade.
On 4th of July. No, this is recent.
One. Different parade, yeah.
We already do that.
He said we should have a parade.
Yeah,
on the
it will become, he says, I think it, I don't have the quote in front of me and I wish it did. It will become a tradition. It is a tradition.
To celebrate already. The holiday? What?
Yeah. You guys look that up and tell me if I'm wrong.
Oh, my God. That's wild.
I
what
know
a wild
it is.
Man.
Anyway.
He doesn't care about nothing.
He doesn't
nothing.
Care. I mean, it is grotesquely funny.
Oh, that's so funny. He doesn't take no guff from nobody. Oh, he's my, what a hero. I love him.
We do, buddy. Real quick, let's talk about vaccines. Because that's the thing that we should be talking about in 2019.
Yeah. So you just want to say, like,
they're good.
They're good. And we should get them.
Moving on.
Okay.
No, there's more to say, unfortunately.
It doesn't seem like there should be.
Last Friday, around 700 anti-vac supporters were protesting outside a public hearing in Washington State.
Did you pronounce Antifa wrong, or is anti-vax people?
I just said anti-vax.
Ah, all right, go on.
Well, that's a fun way to pronounce Antifa.
Yeah.
in Washington, and they were protesting a bill that makes it harder for families to opt out of mandatory vaccinations for children. Mm. And that's the story. But I just wanted to bring this up because it makes me so irritated. That's the theme of this episode, I guess. Vaccinations aren't even just about your own children. Mm. It's about protecting the community. Mm. It's about protecting other kids. Mm. It's the same thing as the flu shot.
Mm.
You get the flu shot as an act of service to the young people in your community and the old people.
Mm.
We've got cancer, kids with cancer that their immune systems can't handle being exposed to diseases, or the same with old people. Anybody with a weakened immune system, it's nuts. Also, you want your kid to be okay, right? There's literally no link between vaccines and autism.
Okay, but I read an article on vaxbad.truth.
See, that's not a reputable source, Cody. That's the thing. You got to check your sources.
I did. Vaxfacts.truth bad. Mm-hmm. I forget the website, but it was good.
Are they run by scientists?
He said...
Cybists, because that's a different word.
He's a scientist.
Scientist. See, that's a different word.
I feel like the doctor at the scientist committee
has something
else to say.
Okay, there's no having this conversation with you.
About that.
Let's just say that it's mandatory and you can't argue with me.
Oh, well, that sounds like government overreach, and I will let my child die because of my opinion.
We just reenacted all the conversations regarding this issue.
What fun.
What fun we've had.
Mm.
Should we just do some real quick newses
in
the news clump?
I believe it's the news dome.
Oh, I hate it. No, stop it. I can't handle this. We're never going to do this again if you keep making that noise. Let's talk about the Senate judiciary real quick.
The Senate pudiciary? Because
yeah,
it's the news
very
dump, you
good.
See. We're going to end with only the toilet jokes.
We've run a classy operation over here. Last week, the Republican chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Richard Burr, said that his panel has found no direct evidence to suggest that the Trump campaign... I'm tired. That the Trump campaign colluded with Russia during the 2016 election.
Very good.
I made it through my sentence.
Yeah.
Hooray for me.
2016 election.
Unsurprisingly, Senator Mark Warner, who's the ranking Democrat on the committee, respectfully disagrees.
Oh, why do we even bother?
I mean, he said that he's not going to tell his conclusion until we have a key number of witnesses come back.
Until the investigation's over?
Yeah, like,
until the investigation's
over. That's common sense. So anyway, that's a news update.
I love that so much. I don't love it as much as Candace saying that thing about...
You don't love it as much. I know.
In
but it's,
Germany.
It's
but
a
like,
good one.
Yeah. I mean, this is another one of those, like, I'm going insane. Every month, maybe every 2 weeks, there's like a breaking story. No collusion. Or like the investigation's coming to a close. Or like this person says there's no evidence. And then like 4 hours later, someone else comes forward who has just as much like weight on the subject. Is like, well, actually, like, we haven't determined anything, and that is really not true, and we shouldn't be reporting on this yet because we don't know everything.
Well, the people that are always coming forward saying, no collusion, blah, 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 are not on the right side.
Yeah, no, it's...
the right side, obviously, being...
The side of the truth and accuracy and justice.
Of justice.
Of justice, yeah.
And we already know that the first batch of testimonies that were given were lies. Michael Cohen's been convicted of lying to Congress.
Oh, wait. Are you, so I need to rethink how I feel about this Omar situation, because are you suggesting that people who historically lie to Congress about things and get caught should maybe not be trusted?
Yes.
Oh.
That is what I'm saying.
That is what you're saying.
Finally, we understand each other.
Oh, well, okay. Well, then I withdraw my sarcasm.
And just say it with sincerity.
And just say, oh, okay, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, really had the chance to start subpoenaing people because they just switched leadership. So Adam Schiff just ended up, you know, is now in charge. Anyway, it's all nuts. But Katie, don't listen to them on the news.
Katie, subpoenaing. Is it a news dump?
Peanut-ing.
It's more toilet stuff for you.
Yeah, I get it. I thought you were correcting my pronunciation. I was like, you threw me under the bus again.
Nope.
Obviously, my lips aren't working well today because I'm tired.
Hey, you're doing great. I just wanted to do some toilet stuff.
Let's talk about Cindy McCain. Good luck finding a poop joke here.
All right.
Cindy falsely asserted that she had saved a kid from being trafficked at an Arizona airport.
Cindy. Come on.
She said, I came in from a trip I'd been on and I spotted it looked odd. It was a woman of a different ethnicity than the child.
Stop the
This
presses.
Little toddler she had. And something didn't click with me. I went over to the police and told them what I saw. And they went over and they questioned her. And by God, she was trafficking that kid. That's not true.
It sounds like she did a good – she saved the day.
It sounds like she did.
I will not look into this further. She saved the day.
I'm sorry. You can close your ears.
Okay.
But the police just came out and they debunked that claim. They confirmed that she did indeed raise the alert to them, but they determined that there was no evidence of criminal conduct or child endangerment. And that presumably happened while she was there, and she still went on this radio program and she said this story. That's not true. Anyway.
Can I come back?
Yeah. Are you ready to listen?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I think that Cindy McCain's a hero, and I appreciate that she said something because she saw something, and the police definitely took care of the child trafficking situation that was real, is what I heard. Because I didn't listen the last, maybe a minute of you were talking.
I give up, Cody.
It was good. Cindy McCain's real good.
I guess we'll end on that high note today.
No, that's so nuts that, she cited, that there were different ethnicities. So she, called the police. That's so crazy of
it
her.
It is crazy.
And, this is a growing epidemic. Lindsay Lohan.
I know, Lindsay Lohan did it.
Almost the exact same thing. And she filmed it.
I know.
And she harassed that family.
This is the only time that Cindy McCain and Lindsay Lohan will be
compared
to each other. But it happened both those times.
It's weird that Cindy McCain hasn't had to necessarily address this since it's been reported that the police said, nuh-uh.
I know.
It's so wild. All day today I've been tweeting at this Michael Knowles fellow.
Cool.
And Max Boot, who's like, I can't believe they're doing ad hominem attacks on Abrams. Where it's like, no, they're questioning him in Congress and he pleaded guilty to withholding information from Congress. That's not an ad hominem attack. That's just saying completely relevant information and on why you maybe shouldn't trust the guy talking to Congress. But anyway, I've been talking to these people and all day. And they just never – they will never own up to it.
No.
It is so obvious how they're twisting this.
Why are you doing that to yourself all day?
Because I hate myself, okay, Katie? because maybe one day, honestly, the reason I do it is because maybe once it will work.
Maybe.
Because they are so obviously twisting this around and distorting it and lying and misrepresenting everything and being hypocritical to everything they espouse. And they just ignore it and they move on with their lives and then nothing changes. And this Cindy McCain thing is just another example of her doing something. The police say, no, that didn't happen. She made it up.
I don't know if she hasn't commented on the police response yet.
Well, then I withdraw my derision.
You know, I should have stopped you sooner.
It's fine. It's just,
I wanted to hear where you were going.
It's just the kind of thing that happens all the time.
But it happens all the time.
It happens all the time. And you're like, well, no, that's a lie. Are you really saying this? And they're like, and they move on. It's awful.
One last bit of news for yous about Khashoggi. The New York Times reported last week that in 2017, the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia told an aide that he would use a bullet on Jamal Khashoggi, which, I don't know, sounds like pretty compelling evidence that the government was indeed behind his murder last year.
You're just speaking metaphorically.
I'm speaking factually.
Maybe he was.
I mean, but it doesn't really, don't worry, it doesn't matter to our president.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know why, but maybe it's because his son-in-law has become BFF with the prince over these past 2 years and has been helping him consolidate power and advance his position to the throne.
Thrown like a toilet.
Oh,
yeah.
I see what you did there.
Like a news
that
dump.
Was real quick.
Yeah.
Ew, God.
Yeah.
You've got to rename.
Thrown this, like a toilet.
We're going to end this episode so I don't have to hear any more jokes like that.
News dump.
Good news for yous, though.
Yeah.
Queer Eye is coming back on March 15th.
All right.
Season
3. Ides of March.
The Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March.
Yeah. Beware the Queer Ides of March.
Ooh, that was so good. Mm-hmm. We can't name this episode that, though.
No, we can't. It has nothing to do with it.
Wow, we got through it.
Hey.
Hey.
Bye.
Bye. We love you very much.
Okay.